The reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, Why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Thank you, Maggie. Greetings to you all from Christian Sport. It's great to be here with you again. And we're also very grateful for the support you give to Christian Sport in many ways, through coming to events, through prayer, through finance, and through Drew himself. He's been involved over the last month or two, and he helped with our leaders training just before our one-day Sports Plus camp a couple of weeks ago. So he came in and delivered a half an hour kind of Bible session to our leaders to help them remember why we do what we do at Sports Plus and why we share the gospel with these young people. And it was great to have him there. A couple of, or many of the leaders had only met Drew for the first time. And at the end of the session, they come to you and say, gosh, where does that guy lead his church? I want to go and join that church. They were so gripped by his teaching. So we're very thankful for Drew and his provision and helping us. And he'll be helping us again in the summer with some of that leaders training for many of our leaders who are in their young 20s. So a great opportunity to disciple and teach them. So thank you for all your support. Christian Sport, as you know, exists to reach the world of sport for Christ. So we want sports people across the island here in Jersey to have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. So that's our mission goal. And our vision is to see Christians in sports clubs, teams, witnessing for Christ. So being distinctive by the way they play and live and speak and therefore from that having an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. So that's the mission and vision, and we've had a good couple of months. We've had a one-day sports plus, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, which is a day of sports for the young people, school years 5 to 11. They come and enjoy a great day of sport, but they also have a short little Bible study time after lunch and also a main talk in the afternoon where they hear God's good news and his gospel. And we had 25 young people along, 10 of which were new to Sports Plus, so hadn't been before. And also 6 of those 10 were unchurched, so from an unchurched background. So we were thrilled with the day. It's there as a taster for the main camp, which is at the end of July. So please pray that those young people would sign up. The sign-ups are going pretty well for the main camp, which is good. So please do be praying for the main Sports Plus. That would be great. We also had a beach volleyball tournament where we had around 12 teams competing down at St. Brelard's, and we had a fantastic evening. So we had around 70 or 80 there, including all the supporters and friends and family that came down on a beautiful evening. And it really was a sight to see as one of the sports people in our network shared their faith and testimony at the halfway point. It was an amazing sight to see these sports people actually come and sit down on the beach, knowing this is what happens at our beach volleyball tournaments. They now know it's part of the event, and they come down and sit down and listen to this testimony of faith in a sportsman's life. And so it was really amazing to see. And we had a bit of a breakthrough. We had a couple of football teams there for the first time, footballers who play in the local league who aren't Christians, and they were coming for the first time to a Christian sport event. And we also had a number of rugby players from the top rugby club on the island there for the first time. So it's a real breakthrough. We've had guests from the cricket community and for the hockey community, but now we're breaking into the football and rugby communities as well. So that was really encouraging. And just this week, we had a fantastic week. We had two sports people contact Christian Sport, a cricketer and a golfer who are playing in the local top leagues. The golfer was the former captain at the Royal Jersey Golf Club, and the cricketer plays in one of the local top teams. Both separately, I kind of know them, and Christian Sport people know them separately, but they both showed an interest in wanting to read the Bible to find out more, having been to an event. So they'd heard a gospel talk or a testimony, and now it gripped their hearts and said, I want to find out more. And that for us is a perfect picture of where we see God working in the world of sport. And now we're having a chance to read the Bible with these guys, which is just fantastic. So thank you for the support and prayer that you've been offering. And it's been a great couple of months, but we pray we keep going like that. We see more and more of that across the island. Right, let me pray before we come to this passage. Father God, thank you so much for the parable of the sower. Thank you so much for Jesus' words here to the crowd and also to the disciples. I pray, Father, that you would convict our hearts and help our hearts and minds to understand your message to us here this morning, and that it would bring a conviction that leads to change and action in our lives, Lord. We pray for this in your name. Amen. Good. I wonder what the standout moment of the Olympic Games was for you last year. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? Rio de Janeiro, 2016, last summer. It's been quite a while since then. But what was your standout moment? Here's a picture on the screen, which will give you my standout moment. Can anyone remember that? That's a hockey stick being thrown in the air. It was Friday evening, right at the end of the Olympics, primetime TV, 7:30. The GB women's team, hockey team, were playing against Holland in the final. And anyone watch that? Put your hands up. Anyone watch it? There's a few there. Good. It was amazing. For me, I'm a hockey player, and I've had many years of pain watching the GB men's and women's team generally fail each time they get to Olympics or to a World Cup. And it was the case for the women's team. They weren't really, they were looking good for the Olympics, but history had shown that they generally don't really succeed at Olympic Games. But on this occasion, they went all the way to win the gold medal. So an incredible moment beating the Dutch. But what makes it so incredible is the fact that as I said, previous Olympics, they had come 8th place, 6th place. The year or two prior to the Olympic Games, they came 7th in the World Hockey League. They came last in the Champions Trophy. They came 12th in the last World Cup. It would suggest that perhaps their chances of winning gold were very slim. But yet they went 7 games totally unbeaten in the Olympic Games and beat the Dutch, who were going for their 3rd gold medal in a row. And so after all those failures and false starts, it made this gold medal all the more amazing and thrilling for the players and the many fans that follow hockey in the UK. You see, as we share our faith with those around us, I think it can often feel the same, perhaps. We seem to get more failures than successes. People seem to not really want to know what it is that we believe. But then finally, sometimes, every so often, we have someone who wants to know more. They show an interest in your faith, and they maybe even come to faith. And it is thrilling and exciting to see. But how can we make sense of the mission and the great commission that God gives us when, in fact, when we often so often see the opposite, we see people rejecting that good news? Well, Jesus here gives us a great insight into what we are to expect as we pass on our faith. Jesus uses the example of a farmer scattering the seed to illustrate what happens as we share our faith. As verses 18 to 23 explains, this is what happens as the seeds land, and it will come up on the screen there. So as the seed falls on the path in verse 19, this is for those that simply won't listen. They're totally unreceptive to the good news. They refuse to even consider it or be open to God. I wonder if you have a friend or a colleague or a family member like that. The second seed falls on the rocky places with a little soil, as verse 20 and 21 indicates. And this is for those whose response is superficial. And so they are unfaithful with the decision they have made. They may have given their lives to Christ in the emotion of a moment, but far too quickly that moment, weeks or months later, slips away. They stop coming to church. They stop engaging with your conversation. And then the third seed falls on the soil, but then is strangled by the weeds, as verse 22 indicates. This is for those that are preoccupied with the things of this world, and so therefore are fruitful. So they have a faith, they are would call themselves a Christian, they would perhaps come to church, but they are unwilling to pay the price and count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Their life is not distinctive to those around them. And so they are unfruitful in their lives. But then we see the fourth seed falls on fertile good soil in verse 23. And this is for those that receive the word of God and want to obey it humbly and produce fruitful Christian lives that leads to great joy. What we see here in verses 1 to 9, we see that Jesus is speaking to the whole crowd. That's the disciples, that's probably Jews there as well, and probably maybe many that don't believe anything at all. So verses 1 to 9 is to the whole crowd. And so there's definitely a message from Jesus to that whole crowd. How are they responding to what they are hearing? Where is the truth that they're hearing now? What soil is it landing on in their hearts? And so there is a message for us now as we hear that. But we see that the rest of the passage from verses 10 to 23 is speaking just to the disciples. It's a conversation between Jesus and the disciples, as verse 10 indicates. The question is why? Why does Jesus explain it to the disciples but not to the whole crowd? Well, we see here that the essence of the parable is that Jesus wants the disciples and us to understand what happens as the seeds are scattered. As the gospel, as the good news of Jesus is scattered, what happens? What are we to expect as it goes out to our friends, colleagues, and family? And he wants there to be no surprises. He wants us to be ready and to expect what happens, the great challenges that may be there, but also the great encouragements. So as we get stuck into this, I want us to think about two questions. The first question is, are you scattering at all, and where are you scattering? And the second question is, what are you scattering? So that first question, are you scattering, and where are you scattering? Well, the first thing we see in the parable is that we see a God who is a generous God, who wants all to hear his truth. Notice in verses 3 and 4 how the farmer does not select and choose where he scatters the seed. His job is just to scatter. What happens after that is not in his hands. Some falls on the path, some lands in the weeds, some lands on good soil. But he doesn't select, he just scatters the seed. And so it is not for us to choose, pick and choose where we scatter God's good news. That's really challenging, isn't it? As you think about your social world, your friends, your colleagues, your family, it's really easy to be selective on where we share the good news of Jesus, isn't it? That person will never be interested. Or they'll say no if I try to invite them to this event. And so we say no for them before we've even asked. Before they even had a chance to respond themselves. I'm deeply challenged by a chap at St. Paul's Church called John Vassalan. Some of you may know him. John is in his 80s. And John goes down to the port, to the Condor terminal every day to greet the French tourists as they come off the Condor ferries. He goes with a bag full of tracts, which he has funded himself and written himself, and he goes down to hand these tracts out, these gospel tracts, to these French tourists, and to pray for conversations that he might be able to share the good news with these French tourists. And I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by Byron's mission and the vision they have to be out on the streets in London sharing God's good news. Many might say, well, that doesn't connect with people nowadays. We need to do it through friendship. And that is true. We do need to share God's good news through friendship. But if we did that, we would only be touching a small percentage of the population of Jersey. If you think about the population of the church, we'd probably reach about 10, 15% of Jersey, perhaps, if we did everything through friendship evangelism. So the question is, how can we scatter the seeds as the parable is encouraging us to do that? John is doing that. He probably gets a lot of rejection. He probably gets a lot of people not taking that tract and pushing him away. But John does it because he's encouraged that some of those seeds will land on fertile soil. See, the problem is we shy away from the whole process of sharing God's word because of these negative responses that we get in 1, 2, and 3 that are up on the screen. We don't want to face that awkward moment when we get rejected, or we fear that social awkwardness and the discomfort it brings. And so we'd rather not try, and we stay comfortable. But that's not what the farmer does. It's not what God does. God wants all people to know him. We also think that if we get rejected, we've done the wrong thing, perhaps. We've pushed them away, or we've pushed it too far. They'll never want to come to church now. They'll never want to know anything about Jesus. Quite often, we don't want to put people off, and so we try to get to know people. We try to get to know our neighbours when we move house. We try to get to know our teammates when we move teams. We try to get to know our new colleagues when we move offices. But then 15 years later, we've got to know them, but yet we still haven't shared the gospel with them. Jesus helps us to understand here that we should expect different responses when the word goes out. Why? Well, verse 15 helps us see. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So we see it's not that we are pushing the boat out too much, but rather there are people out there who have hearts that are just hard. They do not want to respond to God's good news. But the point is, we don't know who those hard hearts are. Quite often, those that seem the most resistant to God's gospel are those actually that in their hearts are searching and hungry and want to find out more. So are you scattering God's seeds? And are you doing it lavishly? See, the extent to which we are seeing the negative responses to scattering God's word is perhaps the extent to which we are being successful at scattering. It's indicative and shows that we are willing to scatter no matter what might happen. Are we seeing the negative aspects of sharing God's word and Jesus as the seeds in 1, 2, and 3 describe? Now, of course, we don't seek those things. We don't look for them. We don't want people to respond in those ways. We pray for revival. We pray that people will respond to the gospel in the best way. But we need to be bold. We need to be courageous as we step out. It's not about explaining the A to Z of the gospel in that conversation there and then. It's about dropping things about our faith into conversation in a normal way. Talking about what you did at the weekend, X, Y, and Z, but also went to church. It's about dropping it in there and then praying that they may want to find out more, respond. So it's dropping it in there and asking the question, what do you think? Did you go to church when you were younger? Have you ever met any Christians before? See what they say. See where it goes. If it doesn't go anywhere, that's fine. Move the conversation on. But if it does go somewhere, maybe God has an opportunity for you to share the gospel with that person. Growing up, my mum used to always say to me, if you don't ask, you don't get. Anyone have their parents say that? Yeah. But the annoying thing was, she always said that when it was too late to ask. So, but I've learned my lesson. But we see here, the parable encourages us to ask, to scatter the seed, and to scatter everywhere, to be lavish with it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, what are we scattering? The parable of the sower asks us to think about what we are sowing in people's lives and hearts. What are we planting in people's lives? I've been challenged by this because Christian Sport have, I've been involved with Christian Sport since 2004 as a student in my third year at Loughborough. And then I joined the staff in 2008. The vision obviously is to see Christians in their sports club sharing Christ. And so I've tried to, through conversations at the bar or over match tea or after training or in the car to away journeys, to share the gospel when given an opportunity. And that's been great, and that's something that we still continue to seek to do, of course, as Christians. But we see in verses 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, it's all about speaking of hearing the word. If you look down at those verses, it's all about hearing the word. So the seed that has been scattered is God's word. Now, I've been really challenged by that. And Christian Sports have over the last year, along with many churches that I know of and friends that go to church in the UK, have been really putting an emphasis on scattering and sharing God's word with the world around them. And when I first heard this at a Christian Sport training or staff days about a year ago, the director was talking about how he wants us, as the way we do mission, to be reading the Bible one-to-one with teammates or with groups of teammates. And when I heard that, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Have you met my teammates? Have you seen them on a Saturday night? Have you seen them in the clubhouse when they're doing drinking games in a circle? Bible study, really? I thought, there's no chance. But yet I was encouraged and challenged by God's word, that God's word says do that. And so I have been praying ever since. I prayed last summer at this time that it would happen, and I had the privilege of seeing a little bit of that happen last September. I put an invite out to my cricket team, the Jersey cricket team, to come to an Alpha course. Most of them didn't respond or jeered. Oh, this was on a WhatsApp message. Most of them jeered or had a bit of banter. But a few of them said they were interested but couldn't do the Alpha course because it clashed with training. And so I said, why don't we meet together once a week after work for a coffee or a beer, and we read a little bit of God's word, and you can ask questions and explore what it means. And these two lads were up for it. So we did it. We started last September, met every week. And I could not believe how much they were getting drawn to God's word. The first session was a bit frosty because the passage was there. I encouraged them to get a pen out. I took a couple of pens. The passage was on a piece of paper. In fact, if you go to the next slide, you can see the format I followed. You can't see the questions quite well, that well, but it's got a number of questions that in blue, which are set the same every time we come together each week. So there's familiarity there, but there's a different passage each week. First time was a bit frosty. They wrote a few scribbles and circled a few things. Conversation was a bit slow to start off with, but it got going. By the second, third, fourth week, they were flying. They couldn't wait to see what the passage was. They bought their own pens, in fact. They were just desperate to look through the passage, read through it, underline things, and ask questions. And a number of those questions up there are, at the end of it, what will you do differently this week, having read God's word, and who are you going to tell? And these guys aren't Christians, but who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell about what you've learned? And they loved it. They went and told their either their girlfriend or their parents who aren't Christians. And they came back each week saying, actually, yeah, it did make a difference. Or, no, it didn't make a difference, but I thought about it, but I didn't like it. So you see that God's word was starting to make a difference in their life. And I couldn't believe it. And by the end of October, they went away for 2 weeks on a cricket tournament to LA, of all places, to play for Jersey. And I thought this could be a bit of a turning point. Will they kind of fall away and stuff? But they were adamant. They wanted to take their Bibles with them. They got some Bible notes. And each day, I'd generally get a few messages back saying, what does this mean? Or what can I read to get encouragement about this? At the end, when they came back, they told me that basically each day they read a bit of the Bible. And quite often, they did it when they were waiting to bat. So for anyone that knows cricket, there's a lot of sitting around, basically. And these two lads were down the order, 7 and 8. And so they would be there waiting to bat, reading their Bible with their Bible notes in front of all the cricket team. I couldn't believe this. And they said, and I said, well, how did the boys respond to this? They said, well, obviously you've got a bit of banter and a bit of stick. But quite a few of the boys, actually the ones that you would expect not to, were actually quite interested and said, oh, what are you reading there? And wanted to read it too. So it really was quite amazing to see them now learning from God's word because they'd seen it make an impact in their lives. They still weren't Christians, but they had seen that it was making a difference in their lives and they wanted to respond to it. They wanted to see it making a difference in their lives. You see, they were becoming Christians. They were on a journey, not through me. They weren't getting my regurgitated version of the gospel that's watered down by my experience. They were getting God's word firsthand in their own hands. One of them became a Christian towards the end of November and is fully involved with one of the local churches and is going well. The other one is on a journey, still asking lots of questions, and we're still meeting together. And it's been amazing to see. But what the parable shows us here is that them becoming Christian is not the end goal. Them becoming a Christian is not the end goal. Them being discipled is the end goal. And that involves reading God's word with them before, during, and after they come to faith. So now actually is the crucial time to be reading God's word with them. As the seeds here show, that it's so easy for the devil to come and snatch them away. And we know for someone coming to faith from a totally unchristian background, what does it mean for their money, for their relationships, for their work, for their self-worth, for their identity? What does it mean in all these areas? And so we've tried to keep going, reading God's word together. And it's been an exciting journey. So are there people in your life who you are discipling or reading God's word with? Whether they be non-Christians and fellow Christians, At Christian Sport, we want to encourage this idea of reading the Bible together with this format here amongst Christians. Just getting used to this format. There's no pre-study needed. It's literally just coming to a passage. There's a bit of context there, a paragraph of context, and it's exploring what that passage means. We want Christians within the church and within Christian Sport to be discipling each other to make disciples, who then make disciples, to keep the ball rolling. And that's what I've really encouraged with these guys now, these cricketers that are coming along. I want them to be thinking that as they see the difference that God's word and God is making in their lives, to be thinking about their friends and their family straight away. That's what Jesus does. He invites the disciples to be fishers of men. He doesn't say, right, let's train for a couple of years and then you can share your faith. He's saying, get in there straight away. And that's what I'm encouraging these boys to do. And praise God, as I said, this one cricketer now has joined the other two to read the Bible this last week. We gave him some stuff to read and he's gone away this week and messaged us and said, I've read the stuff, excellent stuff. Lots of questions though. So we're going to meet in a couple of weeks on the 12th of June. You can pray for us as we meet, me and three cricketers. It's thrilling to see disciples making disciples who make disciples. So let's disciple each other to go and make disciples, to scatter the seed like the farmer did. Yes, we'll get rejected. Yes, we'll see disappointment. Believe me, I've had a lot of no's as well. There's Christian Sport out there I know who are doing the same thing, who are also getting no's. Lots of rejection. No, I don't want to read the Bible. Not now. Or I'm an atheist. Or I'm a scientist. There's a lot of rejection in there. But the seeds do land on fertile soil. The challenge is, do we want to prioritize this in our lives? Scattering God's word and the seed takes time. It takes energy. It takes a priority in our calendar. Our cash in our calendar, how much of that is going to the loss? Particularly calendar when life is busy, how much will we give of our social lives and our social leisure time to the lost? That is a particular challenge. We must still continue to share God's word with those around us because God's word asks us to. And I'm encouraged as we look at this passage now and as I conclude, I'm encouraged by the fact that we see as an overtone to this passage. I've talked much about what we are to do as we are to scatter God's seed. But over and above this passage, we see a God that is sovereign. A God who can change hard hearts. A God that does change hard hearts. A God that can bring the most resistant of people to faith. He has the power to change those hearts. So I pray that as you are convicted and compelled to do the work of the farmer, to scatter God's word in your lives and the world around you, be encouraged that God can do great things through that. And he will do great things through that. And that reminds us we must pray. We must pray. That time with those cricketers started with prayer before. Feeble prayers at that, but it started with prayer. So if you're feeling the overwhelming challenge of sharing God's word with your friends and your colleagues, start praying. Start praying for that to happen in your life and see what God does. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, it really is a great challenge that we see here. As the farmer scatters the seed across all sorts of land, we see that so often the seeds land on bad soil, on the pathways and in the weeds. And so we see that in our lives, and it can really be hard work to see so many people around us in society and in our communities who are resistant to what is fantastic news. It's such good news. We pray, Lord, that they would want to respond. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be lavish with your good news, to have those little short conversations to test the ground, to see where they might go, and then to ask that question to them. To ask them whether they got a background in church, whether they went to church when they're younger, whether they've met Christian before, just to see if there's anything there and any ground that might be fertile. Lord, please encourage us. Give us boldness. And we pray, Lord, that you would do your work. You would bring many to belief and faith in you. We pray that we'd see many more like that, those cricketers and the golfer who want to know more about you through your word. So Lord, please send us on by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We'll now sing Let Your Kingdom Come. So please stand.